5266. If you're not able to make the journey down here, then just make that call and help us reach our goal. We're trying to get $100,000 by May 17th. We know that we can do it because our community always comes through for us every single time. We might get a little behind now and then, but then we realize that guess what? Our community is here and is supporting us every single time we ask. So do give that call. If you've never done it before, it is so rewarding. It feels great, and it sounds so much better when you listen to the radio and you know that you own it. 877-500-5266. We're going to hand it over to Labor Radio, but we want to keep those phones ringing. 877-500-5266.
You've probably heard of them. Guards when they ventured near the border. An over 2-year imprisonment in Iran followed, much of it in solitary confinement. Now, Joshua Fatal, Shane Bauer, and Sarah Shord have turned their experience into a riveting memoir and a powerful indictment of solitary confinement. Tune in to a deeper look when Josh Fatal joins me, Linda Olsen Osterlund, to talk about their new book, A Sliver of Light, 3 Americans Imprisoned in Iran. That's a deeper look. Thursday, May 8th at 9:30 a.m. right here on KBOO.
The time is 6:02. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next is Labor Radio. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Redirect Guide, committed to promoting progressive regional businesses based upon the values of sustainability, localism, and social justice. Complete business directory and resource guide at redirectguide.com.
To you, the 9-to-5er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening. Welcome, brothers and sisters. I'd like to welcome you to the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists segment of Labor Radio here on KBOO, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. My name is Tina Turner Morfitt, and I am a member of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. I'm also the current president of the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. Have we got a show for you tonight? I'd like to introduce my co-host.
Deborah Hall with the American Federation of Teachers.
Audrey Terrell, president of the Portland NAACP, National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, and a retired Union United Auto Workers representative.
Well, tonight, brothers and sisters, what we've got for you, like I said, is a pretty action-packed show. We are also doing a membership drive, and so we'll have a couple of breaks to remind you to get out your checkbooks and join KBOO. But tonight, our guest, we have three of them. We're going to be talking about the Red Cross and the Dr. Charles Drew Blood Drive. It's scheduled for June 21st, 2014. And we'd like you to come on out, give some blood. It's all for a very good reason. Our guest tonight, one guest is Charlotta Malone. She's a sister dedicated to the community. She has a 24-year career employee with the Red Cross. Our second guest is Jerry Jackson II. He's a man with multiple talents. He's going to be talking to us about what his affiliation is with Dr. Charles Drew. And then we also have Leonard Lambert, and he is involved with the blood drive, but on the receiving end. And so tonight, that's what our show is going to be about. So Sister Malone, you want to go ahead and give us a little more about you?
Hello, everyone, and I'd like to thank everyone for inviting me to be here today. My name is Charlotta Malone. I'm with the American Red Cross. As Tina mentioned, I've been with the Red Cross 24 years. Working with the Red Cross is uplifting. It gives me an opportunity to give back, and that opportunity is the Charles Drew Blood Drive.
So how long have you been doing this blood drive?
We've been doing the blood drive now for 7 years. We started with the first drive with a small goal of 30, and it was a little hard trying to achieve that. I think it was because we didn't get enough information out as far as educating. So the second year, we got a little bit more involved with doing a little bit more reaching out. We went from 5 sponsors to 15.
Wow. So 5 sponsors. How did you pick those guys out?
What we did was looked at with Dr. Charles Drew, with him being an Omega, pledging Omega Sci-Fi, we wanted to reach out to fraternities and sororities. We thought that was the best way to do it. So we reached out to Omegas, the Zeta Phi Beta sorority, the Delta Sigma Theta sorority, Kaiser Kappa, and Kappa Alpha Psi fraternity. We started with those first 5 groups to get it going. And then once we got really into it, we saw that it could be something that could grow. So that's when we reached out and added more fraternities, sororities, and other businesses and African-American groups that would help us reach our goal. So that's how we reached 15.
So do you want to tell us about the guests that you brought with us today?
Yes, I am happy. I brought with me Jerry Jackson, who is one of the brothers from Omega Sci-Fi fraternity, and Leonard Lambert, who is on the OHSU board for sickle cell anemia, and also his family has been battling sickle cell anemia, and he can share that story and information with you and the importance of all of us getting in there and donating.
Okay.
Thank you very much. So, Mr. Jackson, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and let us know who were the original 5 sponsors for the blood drive? Some information.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me. Just a little bit about myself. Went to Grant High School, went to North Carolina A&T and received a bachelor's in electrical engineering, and came back home where I am currently an engineer. And as it relates, I'm also a member of Omega Sci-Fi Fraternity Incorporated. And Dr. Charles Drew, who some people don't know, was also known as the father of the blood bank, was an African-American surgeon who was born in 1904, who pioneered the usage of the blood banks and blood plasma transfusions, and was very pivotal during World War II, where he was director of the project for the Britain Project, where they needed blood and blood plasma when the soldiers were at war. And so I'm very proud to represent Dr. Charles Drew as a member of Omega Sci-Fi Fraternity Incorporated, which was founded at Howard University November 17th, 1911. And here in Portland, the Zeta Nu chapter is a very active chapter. We have men in the mayor's office. We have men that are brothers that are police officers, entrepreneurs, engineers, things like that. And so our cardinal principles are manhood, scholarship, perseverance, and uplift. And so we're talking about uplifting ourselves and our community. And that's what Dr. Charles Drew did for us.
Thank you.
Good evening. You're listening to KBOO Community Radio Spring Membership Drive. And I want you to pick up your phone right now and dial 877-500-5266 to become a member of KBOO today. My name is Megan Heiss, and I'm a volunteer here at KBOO. I'm joined by Paul, another volunteer, and we are excited to be joining you tonight with the Labor Radio Collective to share with you the importance of supporting great programming like this.
Yeah, this is a fairly new addition to Labor Radio, which is a long-running program, the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. We're really excited to have them with us. KBOO is all about bringing new voices and different voices to the airwaves, and this is just an example. If you value this kind of programming, please do give us a call at 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. Or go to kboo.fm. You know, if you're a longtime KBOO listener, you know that this is how we come at you, asking you to support this ongoing, experimental, exciting community membership-based programming. And that's what we're doing for the next week or week and a half or more. And we need you to step up right now and give us a call at 877-500-5266.
If you listen while you're getting ready for work, at work, you're driving to or from work, you rely on KBOO to enlighten you and inspire you. And like your union dues, which protect your job, like your church tithe, perhaps, which protects your spirit, your KBOO membership protects your access to information, to news and public affairs that you can use in your daily life. Information that you can use in conversation with your coworkers, with family, friends, neighbors, political comrades. Now's the time to support. Just go to kboo.fm or call 877-500-5266.
And you know, you mentioned union dues. I'm sure there are a lot of union folks out there listening. It is a lot like union dues. You know, you should just look at this as something you do on a regular basis. This is just part of what you know, part of being a community member. This is the one big union, as it were, this community union that we are all part of. And if you value that, please give us a call. The number is 877-500-5266. We've got a bunch of volunteers. We've got some phone lines open, people just waiting. But right now, let's go back to the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists on Labor Radio.
Hello again. Thanks for sticking around. Hey, Sister Malone, I have a question for you. How did you get into working with the American Red Cross?
After I finished school at Western Business College and got my degree, I was looking for something that was fulfilling and going to mean something. So as I was searching for jobs, I ran across Red Cross, but what stuck out the most was the brand, the cross. So it made me look up and say, hey, what do they do? I knew about emergency services, things like that they provided, but I didn't know about the blood side. So when I went in and applied for a job, it was calling blood donors to schedule them to donate at businesses like OHSU or BPA around in the Portland, Vancouver area. So I thought that would be a lot of fun. It turned out to be fun, and I took off from there. I mean, once I did that position there, it led into like several other positions all around in the blood area. So it was a way for me to also give back and to make sure that we as African Americans were featured there at Red Cross, you know, giving back.
Charlotta, as president of the NAACP, I'm just stunned at your bio and how you've excelled at the Red Cross, especially acknowledging your African-American heritage. What I'd like to know is, what is your role as Diversity Task Force representative?
I am what they call a lead coordinator for our Diversity Task Force, which I will correct that because the name has changed now. My bio is Diversity Task Force, but we're now called the Diverse Community Connection Team. And the reason why I got involved with that, because I wanted to make sure as an African American that we were diverse in what we were doing at the Red Cross, so I knew I could make a difference. So when I joined that team, it consisted of probably 8 or 9 people. As I got more involved, I went out and recruited other African Americans to join this task force at that time, and we ended up with 22 members. So the group, you know, we would meet every month, we put together events, anything that was related to being inclusive to your heritage of where you come from. Didn't matter who you were, but we wanted to be all inclusive.
Great. I'm elated by what you're just saying here. Are there any organizations that you're connected with especially with the African American community?
Quite a few organizations that I am connected with. The Portland Lynx chapter. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with that, but they are part of our group as well. I work very closely with them. Bubbly and Brown Sugar Social Club, to say the least. Also, looking at my list here, we have Self Enhancement, Coalesce Construction, Urban League, Young Professionals. So we've reached out to quite a few other African American groups to get involved. That was my main focus. So I'm always still looking for partners, even in NAACP.
And we plan to do that, partner with you.
Awesome.
Good, good. One other thing is that, how have you been able to advance or to help the community? We just had a candidates forum, and we asked them how those new candidates are going to be elected in their political career, how they can affect, what are their plans to affect the Black community. So here, as we talk about the Charles Drew Blood Drive, we want to incorporate that into their mindset of how they can bring that education into the Black community. How can you play a role in doing that, in assisting these politicians to bring that to the awareness of the community, Black community?
What I'd like to do is remind everybody that one donation saves three lives. So when you come in to give that blood, it would be wonderful if I could get on those politicians' meetings, boards. I mean, I go around and do presentations to educate people about the importance of donating. I think that's what's lacking the most, is the not knowing. The biggest question I get, and you'd probably be surprised when I ask people, why don't you donate? They say, I've never been asked. African Americans say, I've never been asked.
Cherry, I might have a question for you. We've talked about the importance of folks donating, but can you talk about, with you being a member of your fraternity, why it's important for college students and for younger folks to also be involved with this endeavor?
Yeah, that's a good question. So Dr. Charles Drew died in his 40s. And so when we look at all of his accomplishments, he did a lot of those accomplishments during his younger years. I began donating in college, and I also saw one of my family members, close family members, need 4 units of blood in order to live. And so when we start thinking about that, I mean, you can start donating when you're 18, I believe, right?
17.
17, thank you.
16 with parental consent in Washington. Okay.
So, I mean, as soon as you turn that age, you are able to start saving lives. And so you can give blood throughout your life as long as you're living, you know, a healthy lifestyle, you know, incorporating good nutrition into your life. So definitely encourage young folks to get out there and donate.
So, Jerry, you mentioned healthy lifestyles. When I was talking to you earlier, it seems as there's a little more to you than meets the eye. So what's up with that?
Yeah, so the last 2 years, my wife and I started a home-based business called Avicare, in which we're able to help people improve in two key areas, their health and finances. And so we have a program that helps people put in good nutrition, because we have gaps in our diet. Fill in the gaps, whether you have weight to lose or energy to gain, we help people feel better and look better.
Okay.
Excellent.
All right.
I just want to go back to Charlotta and say that I know I'm afraid of needles. And I know that I got to be convinced into giving blood. But I just think if we start early talking to not only young children about the importance of blood and giving of blood, that I think that would help us ease that fear of needles and that we encounter.
So we are at a point where we're going to take another station break. We're going to hook you up with our volunteers who are going to ask you to part with your money. We'd like you to join. This is our membership drive, so take it away, volunteers.
Yeah, thank you. And my name is Paul again. I'm here with Megan. And you all know that this is our membership drive, I'm sure. This is Labor Radio. And we're talking about solidarity here. We're talking about everybody standing together, joining together. It's not one person. It's all for one and one for all. And, you know, we just had May Day. You were out there, Megan, right?
Of course I was.
That was a pretty that was pretty inspiring. You know, we didn't change the world, but we got a bunch of people together. I thought there was like 1,500 people. I think we were one of the more lively May Days on the West Coast, maybe. Portland really stepped up, and, you know, there's a lot of high energy there, and there's always high energy here at KBOO. That's what we, you know, we try to uplift people, bring people the news that they need to hear, and this is part of it, Labor Radio. And so we want people to step up and make that call. We got a $300 goal for this program. This is an hour-long special edition during membership drive of Labor Radio. So do give us a call, 877-500-5266. That's the number to call. And if not now, when? That's what I say.
And that's right. You have been listening to Labor Radio here on KBOO. I've been proud to be part of the Labor Radio Collective myself. This is a program produced by working people for working people, volunteers who care like you do about workers having a voice in our society. If you care about working people, about human rights, feminism, healthcare, the environment, fighting racism, if you want information that not only tells you what's happening, but what to do about it, which features local activists telling the story, if you want to help give a voice to the voiceless, power to the people, bring forward the words of the left out, the locked out, the unemployed, the underemployed, the marginalized, the uninsured, the underinsured, it's time to donate. It's time to support listener-supported KBOO. That's 877-500-5266. Call now.
Do show that you support this program in particular. If you are a working person, if you care about these issues, if you believe that the working class is a force to be reckoned with, this is one place where we help empower that. We help bring those issues to the fore. Give us a call, 877-500-5266. You know, any amount is good. You know, union dues is usually a fixed amount. We don't have a fixed amount here on KBOO. We expect people to step forward with what they can offer, whether it's $20 low income, $40 regular membership, $120 a year. Any amount is good. Any amount really helps us make the budget that we have set for ourselves. You know, it's not really big. 2013, we had only a $739,000 budget. That's really not that big for the kind of organization that KBOO is. But we do need to make that budget. The way we do it is to come speak to you directly over the airwaves 2-3 times a year, and this is one of those times. So in order to get through it, we need you to step up and call us at 877-500-5266.
KBOO was a wonderful, wonderful radio station in our community, produced by 500 volunteers with less than 10 staff. Volunteers produce all the shows, run the committees, serve on the board, and finance this station. This is your community, and this is what democracy looks like. This is what democracy sounds like. Now is the time for you to step up, to join the KBOO community with a financial contribution. And I just want to take this as an opportunity to thank Linda from Eugene, who stepped up as a new member with a contribution of $120 a year. Thank you, Linda.
Yes, thank you, Linda. And you know, where do we spend our money? We're, you know, pretty, we make do with what we have. You know, we really stretch it as far as we can. It's 48% goes directly to the broadcast. That's a staff, transmitter, in-station equipment, maintenance, computers and production, music, utilities, trainings, and other volunteer expenses. That's 48% on that. 27% goes to administrative. That's really pretty low overhead if you think about it in terms of a lot of organizations, and 25% for fundraising. And that's what we're doing right now. We're doing some fundraising, and we're, you know, we do our part, and we're hoping you will do your part. Your part is to give us that call right now. We got some volunteers waiting to take your number to reach our $300 goal for this hour. We have these goals, hourly goals, to make it to the $100,000 goal for this membership drive. And we need to make that goal. So give us that call, 877-500-5266. Can't repeat that enough.
And of course, we are listening to Labor Radio together. And maybe are you a member of the working class? Have you ever thought about joining KBOO to becoming an owner? Join the owning class. Every one of the 5,000 members owns a piece of KBOO. Once you join, you're a different person. You get to vote for the board, serve on committees, volunteer to gather news, or put on your own show. Join the owning class now. You can donate now to join at kboo.fm. That's 877-500-5266 and call now.
Thank you, Megan, and I'm Paul, and we are going to go right back to Labor Radio.
Welcome back. Before we get into our next segment, I'd like to remind our listeners that we are the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. We are part of the labor continuum here on KBOO, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. Right before that break, we had what I would call a hanging Chad question, but it wasn't a Chad, it was something about needles. So, Charletta, do you want to answer the sister's question about needles?
Yes, I do. Needles. That is like probably one of our second biggest questions that we get. And what I'd like to challenge you today is to do two things. One, if you drink a lot of water, what happens usually when we drink a lot of water? We get bloated. So your veins sometimes will do the same thing. If you extend your arm out and pinch as hard as you can in there, it doesn't hurt. This needle, when it goes in, is just a little pinch. So you really don't feel it but for a second and it goes away. And what I tell a lot of people with that question about being afraid of needles, we can't be afraid of needles, because if you go to the hospital and you're sick, they're gonna put that same needle in your arm to give you that blood to save your life. Are you going to say you're afraid of needles and no, you can't do that? Mm-hmm. We won't, because we want to live. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. So that's what I tell a lot of people when I get that question about being afraid of the needles, is I just bring it back and say, if you've ever been in a hospital, you've had an IV, you've been given blood, same needle.
Okay. Quickly, I was just reading over your bio, which is so outstanding. It said in 2013, you were nominated and appointed as a steering committee member for the National American Red Cross African American Team Resource Group. And it also says that this particular African American Team Resource Group serves as a vehicle for recognizing, valuing, and leveraging the diversity in our workforce, and that it also serves as a resource regarding an informal liaisons with the communities that we represent. Before we get out of here, I really wanted to ask this question. In that position, how it makes a difference in this community. Before we leave here, please tell us, how can we contact you? As community activists, we need to be able to contact you so you can come with this education and share with us. We don't be afraid of needles, that we got to be able to be a part of this. So can you give us that information?
Yes, I can. You can contact me. I'll give you my direct number at Red Cross, 503-528-5582. You can also email me, Charletta, Charletta, Malone, at redcross.org. And I respond to all emails, all messages, and that's my private work line, so you don't have to worry about anybody checking messages or picking it up except for me. So okay, Feel free to contact me.
Thank you so much. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So, Charletta, you have a second guest here with us tonight, and so far he's been somewhat of a silent partner. So you want to cue everybody up as to who you brought along with you again today?
I brought Leonard Lambert with me, and as I stated before earlier, he is on the OHSU Sickle Cell Board, but he also has a granddaughter who is living right now with sickle cell. And I'd like him to share his story, some of his experiences that he's faced and challenges with dealing with a granddaughter with sickle cell and what he does on the board. So here's Leonard Lambert.
Thank you for that induction, and I'm glad to be here this evening. And to all our listeners, it's a great opportunity to share the story of sickle cell and as it relates to African Americans in Portland and those other minority groups also that are affected. There's a misnomer that sickle cell is just a African American disease, but that is not true. There are other minority groups that also are affected by sickle cell. And so I say that so that other minority groups will also be encouraged to participate not only in the blood drive, but become educated, get tested about the disease that we call sickle cell that is devastating to many of our young people. So part of my story is that in 1998, and let me back up a little bit. So for me, I was tested in the late, well, in the early 60s, and I found out that I am a trait carrier. I don't have the disease of sickle cell, but I'm a trait carrier, which means that if I were, and I am married, if my wife was also a trait carrier, we would therefore birth children that would have the disease of sickle cell. Very fortunate, my wife doesn't have the trait, but some of my children carry the trait because sickle cell, of course, is a blood disease. As Brother Johnson already gave a great historical perspective about Dr. Drew. So I did know that I was a trait carrier. I did educate my my children that you are a trait carrier. One of the unfortunate situations that happened when my daughter had a child with a man, her husband, and he didn't know that he was a trait carrier. He hadn't been tested, and it was very common, especially during our history in Portland, that African-American children all the time didn't get tested. My mother came from North Carolina, so it was a lot larger, more demographics. It was express more verbally and literature about the disease. But in Oregon, we've kind of been behind the times a little bit about the sickle cell anemia disease. It's getting better, and it needs to get even better in regards to education, testing, and just becoming aware of how to treat yourself with the disease. So for me, I knew I was a trait carrier. My daughter knew she was a trait carrier. My son-in-law didn't. They had a child. And Latte ended up with the disease sickle cell anemia. And it is a devastating disease. It can be life-threatening, and most of the times the disease will win.